The fifth parak and through the end of the ninth parak deal specifically with the Korban Pesach and all its related details. As we mentioned at the beginning of the Masechta, these five prakim used to in fact be a separate Masechta called Pesach Sheni, but now we have all a combined Masechta called Pesachim. Just some background to the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah deals with the proper time that the Korban Pesach was brought, and to understand that, we need a little bit background on the various korbanos that were brought every day of the year. So on a high level, every day there were two korbanos called the Tamidim, Tamid, that was brought. There was a Tamid in the morning and the Tamid in the afternoon. The Tamid in the morning was called the Tamid Shal Shachar, like the Shacharit, and the Tamid in the afternoon was called Tamid Shal Bein Harbayim, meaning the Tamid in the afternoon. In fact, nowadays, the Pasuk tells us in the Shama Parim Sfaseinu, nowadays, in place of the Korbanos, we daven, because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash and we don't have the Korbanos, so in place of the Tamid that was brought in the morning, we have Shachris. And in place of the Tamid that was brought in the afternoon, we have our Mincha. And in fact, at the time that we had the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Tamid in the morning was the first Korban, and the Tamid in the afternoon was the last Korban, and everything else had to be brought in between those two. So in fact, the Korban Tamid in the afternoon could be brought at 6.5 hours into the day, but they used to push it to 9.5 hours in the day to ensure that they would get all the other Korbanos done. So on a typical day, almost every single day of the year, the Tamid in the afternoon was brought at 9.5 hours in the day, and this in fact has ramifications for us. When do we daven Mincha? So there are indeed poskim that are of the view that because the Tamid almost all year long was brought at 9.5 hours into the day, accordingly, it's ideal that we daven Mincha Ketana. Mincha Ketana is 9.5 hours into the day. In other words, in a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. day, you divide it up. Every hour is going to be 60 minutes there, but you divide up the day into a number of hours, and that would come out on 9.5 hours into the day would be at 3:30 in the afternoon. So some poskim were of the view that's the ideal time to daven Mincha. Others are of the view that it's also acceptable and even lechatchila to daven even starting at 6.5 hours in the day. That's when the first time that the Korban Tamid of the Bein Arbayim could be brought. So we can also daven our Mincha at that time. So indeed, that's what those are the concepts that we're going to see in our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says as follows, Tamid, at Korban Tamid, this is talking about the afternoon Tamid, Nishchat b'shmona u'mechsa, they used to do the Shechita, the slaughtering of the Tamid, Shalbein Arbaim, at 8.5 hours into the day, Ve'kariv b'teishu u'mechsa, and they would actually burn it on the altar, on the Mizbeach, at 9.5 hours in the day. That is the Mincha Katana that we mentioned, 9.5 hours into the day. According to some poskim, the ideal time to daven Mincha, because that's when the Korban of the Tamid, Shalbein Arbaim, the precursor to our Tfilas Mincha, was actually brought on the Mizbeach, and Be'arve Pesachim on Erev Pesach, because they had so much to do with the Korban Pesach that was brought after the afternoon Tamid, they would do both of these activities, meaning the Shechita and also the burning on the Mizbeach. They would bring each of those an hour earlier. That, just a little bit of more background, that those activities, the time between the actually Shechita and preparing the animal to be put onto the altar, took approximately an hour, and that's why they did the Shechita at 8.5 hours, and at 9.5 hours is when they actually burnt the Tamid, the Korban, on the Mizbeach. So both of those activities were an hour earlier on Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, they had to fit all of everyone's Korban of the Pesach had to be done after the Korban Tamid Shalbein Arbaim, so they needed more time before Shkia, before the end of the day. So Be'arve Pesachim on an Erev Pesach, where the Korban Pesach was brought, Nishchat B'Shevu Mechsa, on that day, the Shechita of the Tamid in the afternoon was at 7.5 hours in the day, not 8.5 hours of the day, V'Karev B'Shmonu Mechsa, and they would put it onto the Mizbeach and burn it at 8.5 hours in the day, not 9.5 hours in the day. And there was, in fact, one time of the year, well, sometimes it didn't even happen every year, that they would do the Korban of Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im not only 1 hour earlier, but 2 hours earlier. And that was the case, and this Mishnah continues, Chal Erev Pesach Liot Be'erev Shabbos, on years when Erev Pesach fell on Erev Shabbos, there they had to not only do all the hakrava, to slaughter all the animals, they actually had to finish all the roasting of the Korban Pesach before Shabbos began. So because there were so many Korban Pesachs to do, the Shechita and also the Tzli, also the roasting of all them, each person would take their Korban Pesach to wherever they would be eating it in Yerushalayim, and they actually had to complete roasting it by Shkia when Shabbos started. So accordingly, they would bring the Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im even earlier, Chal Erev Pesach Lias Be'er Shabbos, says the Mishnah, when Erev Pesach fell on Erev Shabbos, Nishchat B'Sheishu Mesa, they did the Shechita of the Torah Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arba'im, the afternoon Tamid, at 6.5 hours, not at the typical 8.5 hours, Vikarev B'Shevu Mechsa, and they would put it on the Mizbeach and burn it at 7.5 hours in the day, not at the typical 9.5 hours in the day, V'HaPesach Acharav, and then they had to bring the Korban Pesach after that, including completing to roast all of them before Shabbos began. Mishnah Beis has a couple of very important concepts that we're going to see pop up a number of times over the next few prakim. So the first important concept is then when bringing a korban, including the korban Pesach, there were four different steps in bringing it. We'll call it the four avodos, the four different services. Each and every korban required this, including the korban Pesach. Number one, shechita. It had to be slaughtered. That's the shechita of the animal. Number two, right after the shechita was the Kabbalas Hadam, was receiving the blood into one of the Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the Kabbalah from the word Lekabel. Number three is called the Holacha, which was bringing the Dam, bringing the blood to the Mizbeach. And number four was called Zrika Sadam, or Zrika, throwing the Dam, the blood, onto the wall of the Mizbeach. So those are the four steps. Shechita, slaughtering. Number two is Kabbalah, receiving the blood. Number three is Holacha, bringing the blood to the Mizbeach. And number four is Zrika, throwing the blood on the wall of the Mizbeach. These, in order to have a kosher korban, had to be done. And in fact, not only these activities are required, but also the intentions of the kohen who, while doing these actions, are also critical. As we'll see in this mishnah and the following mishnahs, we'll discuss the various necessities of the intentions of the kohen as he thinks about what he's doing. In this mishnah, we're going to speak specifically about the korban has to be lishma. And what that means is when it's the avodah is being done, the kohen has to have in mind this is for being brought for the korban Pesach, and he cannot have in mind that it's for a different type of korban. For example, when bringing a korban Pesach, he can't have in mind that this is an ola or a shlamim. So in fact, that we're going to see right in this mishnah, and we'll see in the next mishnah, another mishnah has other important intentions that the kohen has to have. So the mishnah says as follows, HaPesach sheshchato shelo lishmo, if the Pesach was shechted and it was not lishma, in other words, it wasn't with the intention that it's a korban Pesach, but it was the intention that it's a different type of korban. Or not only the shechita, but all four of the steps, all four of the avodas that we mentioned also, if during any one of those it was done, any of those phases with the wrong intention, the entire korban is going to be invalid. So it's HaPesach sheshchata shelo lishma, and not only if the shechita was lo lishma, the kibel, or if the kabbalah of the dam was not lishma, or vehilech, or the holacha, the bringing of the dam to the mizbeach was not lishma, vizarak shelo lishma, or the zrika, the throwing of the blood, was not lishma, or even if not a full one of those steps was Holoshma, but even during one of those steps, which can take a little bit of time, if we think about the Shechita, that's a number of seconds that the Shechita is done. Kabbalah, receiving the blood, can take a number of seconds. Holacha, the Zrik, all of these take some time. If the Kohen had split intentions, so in other words, he said, O Lishma v'shelo Lishma, if during any one of those four steps he had dual intentions, in other words, he started one way and he changed his mind and he went another way, and we will explain that in a little bit. So, O Lishma Shalom Shalom Lishmo. He started out in the proper way, and then he changed to the improper way. O Shalom Lishmo Velishmo, or she started without the proper intention, and then he had the proper intention, and all those situations puzzled. That korban is not going to count. It's not going to be kosher or valid for the person bringing it. He would have to bring a different one. So what we're saying here is if any of those four phases is Shalom Lishmo, or within any of those four phases, he has even at a certain time a thought of lo lishma, even though the rest of the time he has a lishma, it's also going to be an invalid korban pesach. So now we're going to ask ketsa lishma v'shelo lishma. What would be an example of when the person has, during one of those four phases, he has both the intention that it's lishma, is for the proper intention, and not for the proper intention. So an example is that is l'shem pesach u'lishlem shlamim, that he has in mind initially this is for a korban pesach, and then he changes his mind. He shouldn't have done this, and he says this is for a shlamim, or this is for an ola, or this is whatever other korban. If he had dual thoughts at that time during any of those four phases, that korban is possible. And what would be an example? Shalom lishmo lishmo. What would also be an example of when he had the wrong intention and then he had the proper intention, and that's also possible. So an example of that is l'shem shlamim or l'shem pesach. If he initially had in mind that it's for a shlamim, and then he changed his mind, he says, oh, this isn't really a shlamim, this is a pesach, and he got back on track. It doesn't matter, because he was shalom lishmo, whether at the beginning or the end of in any of those four steps, it doesn't matter, that korban pesach is going to be pasul. In Mishnah Gimel, we're going to add additional psulim that if the person who's doing the hakrava, the shechting of the korban pesach, has improper intentions, that is going to invalidate the korban pesach. So in fact, in the prior Mishnah, we saw the first type of psul that we're discussing, that was shelo lishma, which we're defining as it wasn't brought in the name of the korban pesach, but it was brought as a different type of offering. For example, he brought it as a korban ola, or he brought it as a korban shlamim. And now, category number two of the wrong intentions is going to be shalola ochlav, which means it was brought not for people who can eat it. In other words, there are certain people who can eat the korban pesach. Everyone's required to, but there are certain people who simply cannot or are prohibited for doing it. For example, some who cannot, they are unable to eat a kazayis, which is the minimum shear of the korban pesach, would be somebody who's sick, just can't get it down, or somebody who's very elderly, unable to eat it, or people who are prohibited from eating the korban pesach. For example, somebody who is an RL, somebody who is uncircumcised, or somebody who's tame, somebody who is impure, they either cannot, those are categories of people who cannot or are prohibited from eating the korban pesach. So those are what we're going to refer to, that's our category number two, shalola ochlav, that the person who is doing the shechita has in mind that the people who are going to eat it are those who are unable to eat it. That's category number two. Category number three, we're going to call shalolimnuyav, those who literally were not appointed. The concept of the korban pesach is that you can use it for your family eats together, but you can also partner with others. For example, if it's simply too big, this korban that we're bringing, and then we have to finish the meat, so we would partner with other people. And in order to eat a korban pesach, you had to partner in advance for a specific korban pesach. We would call it, you have to register together, you have to partner together for a specific korban pesach. So if the person who's doing the hakrava, shechting that korban pesach, had in mind other people who are not partnered on this korban pesach, that would also invalidate the korban pesach. So we're going to call that shelo limnuyav, those who did not partner together. This is category number three of improper intention. So here we go through Mishnah Gimel, goes as follows. Somebody who is shchato shelo leochlav, somebody who shechted. And by the way, important point, we're just talking about the shchita now. We're not talking about the three other categories of the avoda. We're talking simply that the shechita, if he had improper intentions at the shechita, the slaughtering part of the korban pesach, so shchata shalola ochlav, this is our category number two, which we mentioned. He shechted it for people who could not, or who are unable to, or cannot halachically eat it. So shchata shalola ochlav, the person doing the shechita, had this intention incorrectly. V'shlolim nuyav, and this is category number three, that invalidates the korban pesach for people who had not partnered together on this korban pesach. And as examples of that category number two, la'arelim v'latmeim, for people who are uncircumcised or people who are tameh, who are impure, that cannot eat the korban pesach. In those cases, category number two and category number three, it is possible this korban pesach is not kosher, it's invalid. However, an interesting point the Mishnah continues is what happens if he had mixed ideas. In other words, on category number two, instead of everyone he had in mind was unable or not allowed to eat this Korban Pesach, he had in mind some people who could, some people who could not. Or category number three, Shalolim Nuyav, he had in mind, we said the Psul is, he had in mind people who were not partnered on this Korban Pesach. But what happens if he had in mind some who were partnered on this Korban Pesach and some who were not partnered on this Korban Pesach? So the Mishnah says as follows, L'ochlav Shalolochlav, when we're talking about category number two, he had in mind some people who could eat of it and some people who could not eat of it. And category number three, L'minuyav Shalolim. If he had in mind certain people who were partnered, who were registered on this Korban Pesach, and some people who were not registered on this Korban Pesach. And going back to category number two, we're going to give examples now. Limulim v'la arelim, people who he had in mind, people who had a meal and people who were also didn't have a meal. So some could eat and some could not eat. Or some litmeim u'litorin, had in mind some people who were tamei and some people who were tahor. Those are also examples of category number two in all of those cases, because at least one person that he had in mind would be able to eat this Korban Pesach. That is a kosher Korban Pesach. It is kosher. It is a valid Korban Pesach. Now we're actually going to change gears and refer back to the first mission of our parak when we talked about that the Korban Pesach and the Korban Tami, they're typically brought, we said, at the Korban Tami, it is brought at 6.5 hours in the day, and that the Korban Pesach has to be brought after that. In other words, the Korban Pesach has to be brought after 6 hours as well by default. So the Mishnah says, what if we made a mistake? Shchato kodem chatzos pasul. If we brought it before chatzos, you brought either one, certainly the Korban Tami, that has to be brought at 6.5 hours, but if we brought the Korban Pesach as well, we hadn't brought the Tami, then we brought the Korban Pesach before chatzos ayom, which is midday, on a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. day, we brought it at 12 p.m., it is possible. It's not valid. Mishum shene'emar bein arbaim, because the pasuk talking about the Korban Pesach says it has to be brought bein arbaim, which means in the afternoon, and before chatzos is not in the afternoon. Shchato kodem latamid kasher. If you made a mistake and you went out of order, and indeed you brought the Korban Pesach before the tamid, and you should have brought the tamid first and then the Korban Pesach, nonetheless, it is kasher. It's not the chatchila b'dieved, but it still works. Ubilvad sheyehe echad mimares b'dam. But you really should have somebody, because you haven't done the zrika of the dam yet of the Korban Pesach, have somebody mix it, stay with that blood, mixing it continually so it does not congeal, because once that blood of the Korban Pesach congeals, then it would be invalid to do the Zrika on it. But what you should do is, you went out of order, you brought the Korban Pesach, you slaughtered the Korban Pesach, bring the Korban Tamid now, but make sure somebody's mixing the blood of the Korban Pesach, complete the Korban Tamid, and then thereafter do the Zrika of the blood for the Korban Pesach on the Mizbeach. However, if you even made a mistake on that, v'im nizrak, what happens when, if you brought the Korban Pesach before the Korban Tamid, and not only did you shecht it first, but indeed, you did the shechita, you did all four steps, you did the shechita, the kabbalah, the holacha, bringing the blood to the mizbeach, and you also did the zrika, and then you said, oh, I made a mistake, and I brought it before the Korban Tamid, it's still b'dieved going to be acceptable, even though you even did the zrika of the Korban Pesach before the Korban Tamid. Just an interesting halacha, l'maisa question. We said that if we brought the Korban Pesach as early as noon, as early as chatzot, it would be acceptable, even though it was before the Korban Tamid, that can only be brought at 6.5 hours. So indeed, we have an interesting question. Halacha l'maisa, how about our davening mincha? We said davening mincha gedola is from 6.5 hours in the day, just like the Korban Tamid that is brought, the Korban Tamid Shalban Abraham is brought at 6.5 hours of the day. What happens if you daven mincha too early after chatzos? Before chatzos is unacceptable. What happens if you daven at 6 hours instead of 6.5 hours? So indeed, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman and Orach Chaim, Siman Reish Lamed Gimel and Sif Katan Beis, says that there's a machlokis of the Achronim, the primary view seems that somebody who was davened mincha before 6.5 hours after chatzos, but before 6.5 hours, even b'dieved, his tefillah would not be accepted. However, there indeed are achronim that are of the view that b'dieved, somebody who davened between noon and 6.5 hours, that b'dieved, that mincha would be accepted, and one does not have to daven a second time. For Mishnah Daled, we need a couple of pieces of information in order to proceed. Number one, we said before that we have three categories of improper thoughts that will invalidate a korban. The first of which was shiloli shma, when you bring the korban Pesach not for its own sake, but for the sake of a different korban. For example, you're bringing the korban Pesach and you have in mind that it's a shlamim or an ol or a chatas. That totally invalidates that korban Pesach. It's not acceptable whatsoever. That same concept mostly applies to other karbanos as well, but with one important distinction. When it comes to almost all other karbanos, they were saying with the exception of the korban Pesach and the korban Chatas, but all other karbanos, if the person who is bringing the korban, he does any of the four activities, the shechita, the kabbalah, the holacha, or the zrika, if he has in mind shaloli shma, in other words, he's bringing a korban ola, and he has in mind that it's a chatas, the owner, the person who's bringing that korban, did not fulfill his mitzvah, and he has to bring another one in its stead. However, in the case of all other korbanos, it's not that the korban is invalid. The korban is indeed invalid. It is kosher, but the person bringing the korban did not fulfill his obligation because the person bringing it, who doing any of those four activities, the Kohen, had in mind Shaloli Shema, that he was bringing it for a different type of Korban. So that's an important distinction that we would build out in our Mishnah. Another important piece of information, and there's a Pasuk, and this is also a major theme of our Mishnah, the Pasuk in Shmos, Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Chaf Hei, says, Lo Tishchat Al Chameit Dam Sivchi, which means when you're bringing my Korban Pesach, Lo Tishchat Al Chameit Dam Sivchi is the Dam of my Zevach, Korban Pesach, make sure that you don't bring it Al HaChameit when you have Chameit in your possession. Doesn't have to be with you in the base of Mikdash when you're doing the Hakrava, but don't be over the Yisr of possessing Chameit. And in addition, not only you, but anyone else partnered with you on your Korban Pesach also, anyone who registered together, they also cannot have any chametz at the time that the Korban Pesach is being brought in the afternoon of Erev Pesach. So we're going to read the Mishnah now, Ashochet et HaPesach al HaChametz, anyone who indeed does slaughter the Korban Pesach when he or somebody in the Chabura has chametz in his possession, over below Ta'aseh, violates the Isser Lo Ta'aseh, the negative precept of this pasuk, Lo Tishchat al Chametz Dam Sivchi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Hatami. Rabbi Yehuda is of the view he's more expansive, not only if you bring the Korban Pesach and you have Chametz in your possession, or somebody else in the Chabura has in his possession Chametz, violates the law of the Isser Doraisa, but even if the Korban Tamid is brought and somebody has in his possession Chametz also, there would be a violation of this pasuk, Lo Tishchak al Chametz Dam Zivchi. The reason Rabbi Yehuda is of the view, it says Dam Zivchi, Zivchi with the Yud added, if it would just say Dam Zevach, that would refer to the Korban Pesach, that somebody violates the law, but Zivchi, the Yud adds on not only the Korban Pesach, but also the Korban Tamid as well. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon now goes forward, HaPesach be'arba asar lishmo chai. If anyone brings the Korban Pesach on the 14th, we're talking about in the afternoon, and he did it lishmo, that is the psul that we discussed also before, that the Korban Pesach has to be brought in its specific, that's psul number one, it has to be brought with in mind that I'm bringing it as a Korban Pesach. So what Rabbi Shimon is telling us is the only person who's going to violate this isra of Lo Tishchat al Chametz Dam Sivchi is if he has a valid Korban Pesach, but if his Korban Pesach is not valid because it was brought Shaloli Shmok, the person who did the Hakrava had in mind some other Korban, Chatas, Ola, then it's not a kosher Korban, but he won't at the same time be violating this Pasuk, this Lav, Lo Tishchat al HaChametz Dam Sivchi. So Rabbi Shimon says as follows, Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaPesach Ba'arba'asa Lishmo Chayav, if that Korban Pesach that was brought on the 14th, Erev Pesach in the afternoon, if he had the proper intention, lishmo, it's a kosher Korban Pesach, so that accordingly you violate this law. Vishalo lishmo, if the Korban Pesach was brought, shalo lishmo, not with the proper intention, it was brought having in mind that he's bringing a different type of Korban, then it's patur, there's no violation of this Pasuk, you only violate this Pasuk if you have a valid Korban Pesach. Now Rabbi Shimon is going to continue talking about other types of offerings that were brought on Erev Pesach. Ushar kol hazvachim, if you brought other types of korbanos on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Bein lishman, bein shelo lishman. We're talking again about category number one of improper thoughts, whether they were brought having in mind that this is the right korban is bringing. In other words, somebody was bringing a korban ola, and the person who's doing the shechita had in mind, this is a korban ola. Or if he blew it and he had in mind, I'm bringing a korban ola, and he had in mind this is a chatas, whatever else it would be. In those situations, putter, the person would not violate this law of owning chametz when he was bringing these other korbanos. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, this law on Erev Pesach in the afternoon is only violated if somebody brings a valid korban Pesach. But if somebody brings any other korbanos, whether they are valid or not, whether they're lishman or not, it doesn't matter for purposes of this law. This law of owning chametz will not be violated, only for the korban Pesach. Now we're going to see the reverse when it comes to uvamoid. If somebody brings korbanos, either the korban Pesach, it's not its proper time to bring it bamoid. In other words, during Chol HaMoed, during the Chag, during the festival of Pesach. If he brought, we'll talk initially, he tried to bring a korban Pesach during Pesach itself. The only time you can really bring a korban Pesach is Erev Pesach after Chatzos, after 6.5 hours, really, of a moed, lishmo pater. If he brings a korban Pesach, having in mind, I'm bringing a korban Pesach, that is not going to be a valid korban. It's invalid, and he's going to be pater from this lav, because he's not bringing a valid korban Pesach. Shelo lishma, however, when he's bringing his korban Pesach during Pesach, but he has his mind, it's shelo lishma, he has in mind that it's a shlomim instead. In fact, when somebody brings a korban Pesach at the wrong time, it does revert to be a shlamim. In other words, this is going to be a kosher korban, and because of that, it's going to be a kosher korban shlamim. Accordingly, during Pesach, you can't violate this law for bringing a korban Pesach, because it's not a valid korban Pesach, but if you bring that korban Pesach as a shlamim, it's a valid shlamim, you indeed would violate this law if you would be possessing chametz, ushar kol hazvachim. And in addition, if you bring any of the other korbanos during Pesach, we're talking about bein lishman, bein shelo lishman, whether you bring those additional korbanos, those other korbanos, whether you had proper intentions or not. That's the category number one of invalidating the korban. For example, you were bringing a shlamim and you had in mind that it was an ola, whatever it be, that's shlishman is, I was bringing an ola and I had in mind an ola, or bein shelo lishman, or I had the wrong korban in mind, it doesn't matter. In all those cases, you're going to be chayv. You're going to violate this law because you are bringing a korban that was valid. In other words, this reverts back to what we were talking about before, that even a shelo lishman with the other korbanos, when somebody has in mind they're being makriv a korban, the kohen, but he had in mind a different category of korban, It does not fulfill the requirements of the person bringing it. In other words, if he was bringing an ola and the korban did the hakrav and he had in mind a chatas or whatever it may be, the wrong korban, the person bringing the korban did not fulfill his obligation to bring the korban, but the korban is still valid. And accordingly, because when it comes to the sha'ar kol hazvachim, during the moed, during Pesach, when you bring any other types of korbanos, any types of animals, whether it was brat lishman or shelo lishman, that korban is going to be a valid. The whole difference between lishman and shelo lishman is whether it was effective for the person bringing it or not, but either way it's going to be a valid korban. Accordingly, the person bringing it who had possession of chametz would violate this law. The exception to the rule is chutz min achatas sheshachat shelo lishma. This is what we mentioned before, just like the korban Pesach, the korban chatas has the same halacha, that if it's brought shelo lishman, in other words, somebody was bringing a korban chatas, but the person bringing it, slaughtering it, had in mind the wrong type of korban, not only does it not fulfill the obligation of the person bringing that korban chatas, but indeed the entire korban is invalid, just like the korban Pesach, when it's brought shelo lishma, it's also, the whole thing is invalid. Mishnah Hay, through the end of the parak, deals with the actual bringing of the Korban Pesach. The Mishnah says as follows, HaPesach nishchat b'shalosh kitos. The Korban Pesach was brought in three different stages, group one, group two, and group three, because there wasn't enough room for everyone to do it at the same time in the Azorah Shenemar, and we learn it from a pasuk, in Shmos Yud Bet, V'shachatu oso kol kahal adas Yisrael, that everyone should bring the Korban Pesach, shchita, everyone should do it. But it says three similar words, kahal, the kehila, the tzibor, adas, the eida, the tzibor again, and Yisrael. So the Mishnah says, kahal ve'eda of Yisrael, three words. So that's coming to teach us that they were divided into three different shifts. Nichnasa kas harishona, the first shift would enter into the Azara, nismales Azara, when the Azara was full, to avoid overcrowding, na'alu dalsos Azara, they would actually lock the doors of the Azara so no one else could come in. You need to give everyone ample space to do the shchit and all the other activities involved, which we'll be talking about in the rest of the parak, in preparing that Korban Pesach, bringing the Korban Pesach. And while that was happening, taku heireyu v'saku, the chatzotzos would be blown, tkia, trua, tkia, that was actually in the context of when the challah was said at the time of the hakravas of the Korban Pesach, as we'll again see later in the parak. Hakohanim, the kohanim there were there, ready to assist, and we'll see also later in the parak that the actual slaughtering, the shechita, was done by non-Kohanim, and the Kohanim were there to do the Kabbalah, to receive the blood, right after the shechita. So this talks about their formation of how they stood. HaKohanim omdim, shuas, shuas. The Kohanim were standing ready in rows, ubiyadehim bezichei chesev ubezichei zahav, and in their hands they had bowls either of silver or of gold. Each coin held one bowl, shura shekula chesev Kesef, Vishura Shakula Zahav Sahav. Any row that was designated to be held silver, in other words, there were Kohanim in a given row, they would only hold a silver bowl, and if it was a row that the Kohanim were designated to be holding gold bowls, they would only hold gold bowls. In other words, that was for the Hiddur, the beautification of the Beis HaMikdash, the beautification of doing of this mitzvah, that they would have some synchronization, not having a mixture, lo hayum me'oravim, they wouldn't mix the different colors, the gold and the silver, they had it standardized, each row had a separate designation in order to beautify the mitzvah, lo hayum labazichin shulaim, and in addition, these bowls that they were accepting, that they were doing the Kabbalah, receiving the blood after the Shechita, they did not have a base on those bowls, Shema Yanichum V'yikrash Adam, because the concern was so much going on at that point, the concern was a Kohen would do the Kabbalah and simply put it on the floor and get distracted, and then the blood would congeal, and then they would not be able to do the Zrikas Adam for the Korban Pesach, and then that would prevent the Korban Pesach from being kosher. So these bowls did not have a base. They were either pointed or rounded on the bottom, and that was the sign to the Kohen, don't put it down. Have the Zrika done promptly after the Kabbalah of the Dam was done from each Korban Pesach. Ishnuvav Shachad Yisrael, the Shechita could be done by Yisrael. The other three activities of the Kabbalah, receiving the Dam, as we see, V'kibel HaKohen, it would have to be a Kohen that does the Kabbalah, receiving the blood into the bowl that he was holding, and also the Holacha, bringing the dam to the Mizbeach and the Zrika and spritzing the blood onto the Mizbeach, all had to be done by a Kohen. So just the first of those, the Shechita, could be done with Yisrael. And what they would do is, instead of the Kohen right after the Kabbalah of the dam, him, he himself walking all of the way to Mizbeach, they effectively set up a conveyor belt. Nosu lechaveru, vechaveru lechaveru. Each of the Kohanim in a row would cast down that full bowl till it reached the person closest to the Mizbeach, and that Kohen would do holacha, he would go a couple steps and then do the Zrika, and then he would bring back the empty bowl. He wouldn't bring it back, he would bring it back a little bit till the next Kohen, and then they would also pass the empty bowl all the way back. So it says as follows, Umekabel es hamalei, Umachazir es hareikan. So first on that conveyor belt with the full bowls going towards the Mizbeach and the empty bowls coming back from the Mizbeach, the Kohanim first had to pass on the full bowl because that was the real mitzvah, and there's a concept of Ein Ma'avirin ala mitzvah. So first do the mitzvah with the full bowls and then receive back the empty bowl because that was a machshira mitzvah that was necessary to do the mitzvah, but it wasn't the real mitzvah. So in order to not violate Ein ma'avirin ala mitzvah, don't pass over the mitzvah. In other words, if you would accept the empty bowl before passing the full bowl, that would be problematic. Kohen akarav eitz ala mizbeach, the kohen that was closest to the mizbeach, in other words, the one at the end of the row who was right there by the mizbeach, zorko zrika achas keneged hayisod, he would zorek, he would pour everything from the bowl towards the Mizbeach, on the Mizbeach, and it was in particular at the Yisod, at the base of the Mizbeach, in a specific area. Mishnah Zayin, Yatza Kas Rishona, V'nichnas Akashnia, as soon as the first group, the first shift, was completed in preparing their Korban Pesach, they would exit the Azara, and the second shift would enter. Yatza Shnia, Nichnas Ashlishit, as soon as the second shift finished, the third shift would come in. Kamase HaRishona, Kach Maase HaShnia VaShlishit, just as we described the actions in the Hakrava, and the Holacha, and the Zrika, etc., of the first shift, the same exact actions were done for the second shift and the third shift. And during each of the three shifts, the Levim were Karu Es Hallel. They would be singing the Hallel during the Hakrava of the Korban Pesach. In Gamru Shanu. And if they finished the whole Hallel and there were still people involved in doing the Korban Pesach, they would repeat the Hallel a second time. V'im Shanu Shlishilshu. If they finished the second time and there were still people involved in the Hakrava of the Korban Pesach, they would say the Hallel a third time. However, Afa Pishlo Shilshu Miyamehem, it never happened that the Levim had to repeat the Hallel a third time. It's because the Kohanim were working fairly hard. Kohanim were Zrizim. They were very active with alacrity, and accordingly, this was a fairly efficient process to get the first group finished, second group finished, and the third group finished. So it was never necessary to repeat the Hallel a third time. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Me'emeim shalkash lishis lo higia lahavti ki shma Hashem nipnei sha'ama muatim. And in fact, Rabbi Yehuda adds on that when it came to the third group, the third shift, because there were so few people in the third shift, because everyone really wanted to be in the first and the second shifts, because of Zrizim Akdim and the mitzvahs, when you have a mitzvah to do it quickly, don't wait for the third shift, because it was such a small shift, it was a very quick shift, so they never even have completed the challah one time. It never happened that they even got up to Ahavti Yishma Hashem as part of the challah. They had already finished the Korban Pesach by the time the Levim got to singing Ahavti Yishma Hashem on the first rotation of singing of the Hallel. All the activities that we've been talking about that were done to the Korban Pesach, they were done not only during the weekday, but also when Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos. So in other words, that's when the Korban Pesach was brought, was on Erev Shabbos, that Saturday afternoon after 6.5 hours. All of those activities were done as well. Now, just to mention that there are differences between the weekday and Shabbos. We haven't seen them yet. That will be the subject of the next parak. Ela Shaka Kohanim medichim es ha'azara shelo b'kirtzon chachamim. However, there's one thing to point out, says the Mishnah, that on Shabbos, the Kohanim used to literally wash the azara because there was all blood all over the place, so they wanted to clean it out, even on Shabbos, and Chazal were not happy with their doing that on Shabbos. The way they used to do that was there was a canal of water that used to run through the azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and on the place that it would exit, they would stop it up, and by stopping up the canal, that would cause it to overflow and clean out all of the area, the marble that was in the Azara, and then once everything had overflowed a sufficient amount, they would then remove the area that they stopped up, the item that they used to stop up the canal, and everything would revert back to norm, and all the water would go back into the canal and would be washed out. And the discussion here is a prohibition of cleaning floors on Shabbos. It doesn't apply to our floors nowadays when they don't have cracks and crevices in them. It may apply to outside, but typically inside floors are flat and straight. A wood floor, a marble floor would be permitted to clean. We're not talking about using water and detergent, but to sweep it up, for example, would be permitted because we're not concerned that you're going to flatten out the cracks in the floor. It's called mashvegumos, that you would flatten out the floor because of all the cracks in it. That would be a concern when you have a creviced floor. And in fact, that was the concern of the Beis HaMikdash. Chazal was saying we cannot be cleaning floors on Shabbos. That's falls into the Isser Durabanan, and the Chachamim were of the view that there's Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, a concept that we've seen before, that's an Isser Durabanan to not to clean the floor, because you may come to fill in the cracks. So indeed, they said there's no Isser Durabanan in the Beis HaMikdash, and Chachamim would have replied back to them, in fact, in this situation, there is the only time that we apply the concept of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, Isseri Durabanan, don't apply in the Beis HaMikdash, is when there are certain activities that are necessary for the actual of a vod. avoda. And if it's necessary for the actual avoda, we're not going to hold by the isurei derabanan. That would apply outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But cleaning the floors after the avoda is already done, and accordingly, there would be a shvus b'mikdash. That isurei derabanan would be applicable in the Beis HaMikdash. Continuing a non-Shabbos issue, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, all times when the Korban Pesach is being brought, the concern that Rabbi Yehuda is about to address is what happens if when the Korban Pesach is shechted and on the way to doing the Zrika, the bowl with the Zrika of a given Korban Pesach spills out, and a Korban Pesach is not kosher unless the Zrika is done with its blood on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda has a solution for that. Kos hayam imalei midam hatarovis, which one of the Kohanim would do is that he would scoop up the blood from the floor before it was washed out, as we mentioned in the ratio of this Mishnah. So scoop up a full bowlful of the blood. That's the dam hatarovis, the mixture, because that would mix all of the various blood together of all the korban pesach that was brought during a shift. Zrako zrika achas al gabe hamizbeach. And in case we missed the zrika of any one of the korban pesach, go collect one bowl. That would include some, a little bit of the blood of each of the korban pesachs. And if anyone was missed, we would do a super duper zrika at this point, and with one bowl, and that would make sure that there was a zrika on each and every Korban Pesach. However, Chachamim disagreed with this. They were of the view as follows, that the majority of the blood is not kosher for the zrika. What's going on here is that the zrika had to be done from the Dam HaNefesh, which is what we'll call the lifeblood. It's the first blood that comes out after the Shechita, and it cannot be done from the Dam HaTamtitz, which is the blood that comes out there afterward. And the majority of the blood in the Beis HaMikdash and the Azor are there, the majority of the blood in an animal is the blood that comes out afterward, not the initial blood. So even scooping up blood, that would not be helpful, because the majority would be blood that is not going to be effective on doing the zrika. We have a concept of bitl barov. We nullify when you have a majority, because the majority would be the blood that wouldn't be kosher, was the after blood, not the initial blood. So Chachamim were of the view, Rabbi Yehuda, that is not a solution for a Korban Pesach that did not have the zrika done. In fact, we don't have a solution. That Korban Pesach would not be kosher. Mishnah Tess, after the Zrika of the Dam for each of the Korban Pesachs that were brought in the Azorah, they would go on, as discussed in our Mishnah, to skin the animal, and in Mishnah Yud thereafter we'll discuss the removal of the sacrificial parts. So Mishnah Tess says as follows, Ketza tolein umafshitin, in order to skin the animal, and in order to remove the entrails on the inside, they would hang up by the legs the animal, and they would mafshitin, and they would skin it. How would they do that? Unkalia shel barzel, they were iron hooks, shahayu kevuin, were set permanently, baktolim uva amudim, shebahem tolin umapshitin, they were set in the walls and the pillars that were in that area. And from those, they would put the hooks, they would hang the animal from the hooks, and they would skin the animals. The kol mi she'ein lo makam litlo tu lahapshit, if all the hooks were being used, so somebody didn't have a place to hang his animal and to skin it, they would do something else. They were maklos dakim chalakim hayusham, they were sticks. Dakim are thin, chalakim are smooth. Hayusham, they were there in that area in the Azoru, meniach ha'kseifo. What they would do is two people would get together, and they would hang the animal from its legs, after putting those rods, those sticks, al ksefos, on their shoulders, val kesef chaveru. So two people together, they would put the rod from one shoulder to the other between them, etola umafshit, and they would hang the animal on that stick between the two of them, and they would skin it that way. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer is going to discuss the situation where Ere Pesach, when they were bringing the Korban Pesach in the afternoon, fell on Shabbos. Arbas, ar shechalias b'Shabbos, that situation, the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach, that fell on Shabbos, that it, because it's Shabbos, those sticks are muksa, so we needed to do something else. If you did not get an iron hook, which was not muksa, those iron sticks were muksa, so what you would do is you'd have to hang the animal from your arms. How would you do that? Meniach yado akesef chaveiro. Two people would partner together, and you would put your left hand facing to each other, your left hand onto your friend who's facing you onto his right shoulder, vayad chaveiro akseifo, and he would do the same, putting his left hand onto your right shoulder, and they'd have their right hands free, visola, and they would hang the animal, the Korban Pesach, on their outstretched arms, which were laying on their friend's shoulder, umapshit, and they would use their right hands in order to skin the Korban Pesach. Mishnah Yud, after the skinning of the Korban Pesach, Kra'o, they would tear it open, V'hotzi Emurav, and they would remove the sacrificial parts, the various fats and organs that would indeed be burned on the Mizbeach, Nisano B'Mages. What they would do is they would put it into a bowl, those parts that had to be put onto the Mizbeach, V'hiktiran Al-Gabe HaMizbeach, and a Kohen would come, pick up that bowl, and put it onto the Mizbeach that would be burned on top of the Mizbeach. Now, on a typical day, a non-Shabbos day, as soon as each of the three shifts of Klal Yisrael that were bringing the Korban Pesach, when they left the Azara, they would head home and start roasting their Korban Pesach, preparing it for night in order to eat it at the Leil HaSeder. However, on Shabbos, this was indeed problematic because there's an Isser Hotzah carrying the Korban Pesach and whatever else they had with them back home. That's an Isser Del Raisa, problem carrying. So they had to stick around in the base of Mikdash inside a Rishus Hayachid and within a walled area until the end of Shabbos. And only then could they bring their sacrificed Korban Pesach home in order to roast it. So what happened on Shabbos? So Yatzah Kas Rishona, so when the first shift finished in the Azara, they would go out, the Yashvala Behar Habayis. They would sit on Har Habayis, the Temple Mount. It was around a wall around the Temple Mount, making it to Rishus Hayachid, and they would stay there until the end of Shabbos. Shnia Bechel, and the second shift would go out when they finished their shift, and they would sit in the Chel. The Chel is an area outside the Ezras Hanashim that also had a wall around it called the Soreg, Vashlishis, and the third, much smaller group, Bimekoma Omedes, would stay where they are, right there. They didn't have to go elsewhere because they didn't have to clear out the Azara for anyone else bringing a Korban Pesach because they were the last lift, so they were able to stay there in the Azara in the courtyard. Hashecha came, Shabbos ended, night came and Shabbos ended. Yatsu, everyone, all three ships in their three different areas, they would leave the Beis HaMikdash, they would go home, Vitzalu Es Pischeim, and then they would go and roast their Korban Pesach, enjoying it at the Leil HaSeder on Motzei Shabbos. So it started a little bit later because they could only walk home and cook and roast the Korban Pesach only after Shabbos ended.